Curious. You would make an excellent cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Join the community at Cephalon Squared on Twitter and Facebook, or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
Just a quick little interruption before we get the show started. I forgot to put in the notes that we do have a giveaway starting this week, even though I was telling everyone to keep an eye out for this episode for a giveaway. So I almost forgot. Didn't forget, but it's right towards the end. So I just wanted to make sure that if you are listening, stick around till at least an hour and 10 minutes, or skip through to an hour and 10 minutes if you prefer. That's where we announce the giveaway and how to enter. So apologies for that. I would have put something like that up earlier in the show, but it just slipped my mind because it has been nuts. On with the show. Thank you. G'day, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to episode number 33 of Cephalon Squared. I'm your host, Cephalon Greg, and I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How are you, sir?
I am doing pretty good on this fine Sunday evening.
Excellent. How fine is it, sir?
Fine, you ask? Well, it's roughly about 24 degrees. I actually don't have the weather up on at the moment, silly me.
That's unlike you, Mr. Weatherman.
There's been so much... technical difficulties this evening, folks.
Oh, fuck, tell me about it. It's only taken us half an hour to even start recording today. Hey! Usually it takes us 30 seconds.
Yeah, so currently at 7:30 p.m. on a Sunday evening, it is 24 degrees Celsius with a 67% humidity. I actually have my windows closed because I'm starting to feel a little bit of a chill.
Well, there you go. At 8:30 on a Sunday night down here in Melbourne, it's also 24 degrees with 50% humidity instead of your 60 whatever. So, for you Americans, that is 75 degrees Fahrenheit. So, not too bad. It's all right. It's comfy. I'm happy. Yeah. Lucas is feeling cold because he's a big Queensland pansy. And it's got to be over 30 degrees for him to be comfortable.
No. Oh,
24,
it's cold. I'm a West Australian. I'm a West Australian originally, but I've been here for 5 years, so I'm starting to adjust to the Brisbane weathers.
Weathers?
Weathers, yes. Well,
it has more than one sometimes.
Sometimes. We got stormy and we got sunny.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. There are only two weathers. All right, so... it's a big one this week. There's a lot of news and there's a shitload of discussion because of DevStream 124. We're going to kick right into it. But before we do, yeah, you're going to... what?
Oh, boy. That's all I have to say. There's a lot.
Okay. I thought you were going to throw something in there. Before we do, we will have a quick chat. I guess, really, when we talk about what we did in Warframe this week, it was Nightwave. So most of probably what we're going to talk about is going to be that. But is there anything you did apart from Nightwave, Lucas? Oh, there is. I know you did something today.
I did something today. Ah, yes. My new Zor that has been named graciously by Dougie from our Discord, the legendary Orican Zor. Now it is a Krapath, plate Krapath. As I picked up the Riven for it yesterday due to the Gift of the Lotus, and I am literally like 0.4 points off from having a 2 attacks per second attack speed, so it's fast.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I think I actually need to slow it down. That's how crazy this is.
I need to get myself a Riven for the Plague Krapath. I love mine. I love it dearly. It's beautiful.
anyway, apart from that, it's pretty much been Anthem. Yeah. Anthem and Warframe.
It has, yeah. I have been playing actually quite a lot of Warframe, especially since Nightwave came out, but I've kind of got... maybe it's because of Nightwave, I don't know, but I'm kind of getting back in the groove. I'm starting to get that... starting to get my mojo back. I'm feeling like I want to grind again and I want to start working my way through primary weapons and things like that, because there's a lot of primaries and a lot of melees that I haven't done. So yeah, I'm actually feeling like I'm starting to get my Warframe mojo back. So that is good, but there also has been a fair bit of Anthem, and of course, maybe some of the reason that that is coming back is because of Nightwave. So let's move into it, because we will be talking about Nightwave a lot during this particular episode. So, news time. We'll go quickly through this, because there's a lot of it. There is a new Deconstructing DE podcast coming out soon. It may already be out. I didn't look at the date because I'm dumb. It covers a couple of the animators. So if you were interested in what happened in the first episode, which was just a couple of the artists talking about their job, now you'll have the chance to listen to a couple of the animators talk about their job. So that would be interesting as well. It's actually a pretty good podcast to get a little bit of background into the goings on at EDE. Do you
EDE?
Did you get a chance to listen to the first one yet?
No. No. There's been a lot that I've been up to, so no, I have not yet, but it's definitely on my playlist of things I must watch and listen to.
It's only half an hour, so get on it. Come on. Wow.
Well, my list is pretty big at the moment, so
stop it with the list. All right. The next thing on this particular list is that the TennoCon tickets are now on sale. They were, well, we knew they were coming soon, but they were announced at the start of the week and they went on sale towards the end of the week. And in only a few days, they are already almost sold out. So the last I saw was that they were at 75% already. That is nuts. Yeah. As much as we would love to go, it's just not necessarily something that we can achieve this year. We don't make any money from the podcast, so anything that we do would have to be out of our pockets, and going to Canada for a few days is just not something that either of us can really afford so soon. So the podcast probably got more popular than we expected, faster than we expected, so it is what it is. But hopefully we'll be able to get working on some of that stuff so that we can go next year.
2020.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. There is a Renown pack number 15 available on the PS4 and Prestige pack number 13 now available on the Xbox. If you play on those systems, you know what they are. They're basically just little booster packs that you can purchase for, I think, $10 to $15 Australian. And you just get a few little bits and pieces in it, most of which are exclusive to that particular system. In terms of cosmetics, so
yes.
Get out and give it a shot. Did you have a look at either of them this time?
I did see that there was something in the PS4 Renown pack, and that it was a new Obsidian Oberon skin. So,
oh, okay, interesting.
Yes.
I don't mind the Obsidian skins, but they're a bit plain.
Yeah. I think this one is kind of shaped. Not, it looks like it's kind of shaped a bit after one of the alternative helmets, so I don't know. Nice.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. Check it out. All right, the Warren Infested is out, and probably by the time you listen to this, it's already finished. And, you know, within a day of it starting, PC at least was already at 80-something percent, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be fulfilled next week. We start the Affinity.
It was already 100% when I woke up at 10 a.m. this morning.
Well, there you go. So it's all done.
So I mean, we're in the clear.
Probably a lot of people came back for Nightwave this week, which is why it went so quickly. But either way, yeah. So we're going to have an Affinity weekend next weekend, the weekend after a double credit weekend, and the weekend after that, a double resource weekend.
Look
forward to it. It's going to be good. Sadly, I am going to be out of the country next week, so I miss out on the double Affinity weekend, which I'm really pissed about, because I've got an Affinity booster already. I would have loved double the double. Sadness. Anyway, DE is also running a little bit of feedback, or they're running a survey on the Plains of Eidolon, the Orb Vallis and Fortuna, They want player feedback to let them know how they did, what they should improve, that kind of thing. So if you've got some opinions about the Orb Valis or about the Orb Mother fight in particular, get out, go to our website, check the show notes for this particular episode, and there is a link there to give Dee some feedback. I will definitely be getting in there because I've got some things that I think Dee should be aware of, but, you know, in the end, they're probably going to get it a million times over from players because it's pretty common stuff. All right, anything else to add on news before we move on, Lucas?
What about that special release that we got on all platforms?
Well, I left that out because it is a major part of the, what do you call it?
Discussion?
Yeah, that's right. but yes, Lucas is 100% correct. During the week, Nightwave came out on all platforms. I did have it in the list to talk about.
You did?
What a fucking idiot. Thanks, Lucas. Nightwave was released on all platforms, which is exciting. It was really good for the whole community to be excited about something together.
And a first for DE.
Exactly, a first for us all. I doubt it's something they're going to be able to achieve often, but it's fantastic that they did. And I think the reason they've done it is because it's going to be something that happens frequently. So every 8 to 10 weeks, they're going to start a new Nightwave, and probably similar to what they're doing with, like, opening the Prime Vault and things like that, they want it to happen on all platforms at the same time, rather than the major updates, which will still be staggered. This will be something that hopefully will happen every time on all platforms. So that's pretty cool. I look forward to it.
Yes. Very well done.
Indeed. All right. On to our discussion, DevStream 124. Now, Lucas, we'll go through note by note, if you like. I know they are my notes, so you may get tongue-tied, or you may look at it and think, what the fuck is Greg talking about? But we'll be right.
Yeah, sure.
You'll figure it out. You're going to do this big one about Nightwave, so...
Oh, yay.
They talked about the Gift of the Lotus and the War on Infested, so, you know, that's stuff we already know. The Gift of the Lotus is already over, so it doesn't really matter to talk about it now. That was the start of the dev stream. Then, what did they go on to, Lucas?
Next, they talked about the Nightwave. The Wolf and the Convicts will be more common in their appearance throughout missions over time, and there's no need to do 100% of the tasks at hand to receive everything. You only need to accomplish up to 60% to really reach your rank 30 with the Nightwave reputation. You can prestige your ranking once you hit 30 to receive more wolf credits further on, and the lore will go into the codex at the end of the said event.
Which is pretty exciting. So I don't think it's going to happen again, so I don't think the Wolf of Saturn 6 is going to come back, but the lore from this particular event will end up in the codex. So that's pretty cool. And they did specifically say that you can prestige to 30 more levels, and each of those levels will just reward wolf credits. So you could end up with a shitload of them.
By a crapload of nitane extract.
Yeah, exactly. But that's only if you're willing to grind 100%. Because if it takes you 60% to get to level 30, I doubt you'd be able to grind through another 30 with just the 40% left over. So.
Well, I reckon you could. I mean, you receive a bit of reputation from the the convicts. Yeah, and if the convicts do start to show up more and more often, then you're going to get more and more rep.
Okay, the next thing they went on to was they discussed the exclusivity of the rewards that we're getting in Nightwave. So people are wondering whether or not you can only get it from Nightwave and never get them again. While that makes sense to make people feel special, they also think that it's not really fair to people who start long after the event is gone, because, you know, you shouldn't punish them for not having played the game several years ago. Not everyone knows about the game at different times, and just because you knew about it first doesn't make you any better. But it's a tough one because, you know, a lot of the people that are playing the game are the ones who are spending the money at the moment, and they probably deserve something special. So it'd be nice if they did give people something special and certain things just ended up back in the reward pool, but we'll see. They're listening to feedback about it and they'll make some feedback in future. One of the things they mentioned specifically was the Ayatan statues. They are well aware that fully socketing five statues was probably a bit much. Yay, because it was.
Yeah, it really was.
I didn't
even
do it. I just ignored it.
No. I think I've managed to get two done so far.
Yeah, I did one, and then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get another four, and I don't have time to chase another four, so I'm not going to. So I didn't.
Yeah.
Especially now that I know you only have to do 60% of the axe.
Yeah,
I'll just be happy to max to level 30. That's all I need. I just want that armor and everything else that you get throughout all the levels. It's a good idea.
Umbral Former.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, the Umbral Former, I'm happy about it, but I'm not that pumped about it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the sigils and all these little cosmetic bits that I'm excited about. Plus, there's only one Umbral Former, so whoop-de-doo.
That's true.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, we can skip the next one because we already talked
about
that.
Skip the next one, yes, we already have. So,
you can talk about your face.
Then they went in to show a more detailed image of the Nyx Deluxe skin that is in the works, and oh my god, it looks glorious, and I cannot wait. It looks fantastic.
It does. It's absolutely gorgeous, to be honest. I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes, so if you don't want to watch the whole thing and you do want to see what this Nyx Deluxe looks like, go to cephalonsquared.com, look up this episode, and yeah, check her out. She's absolutely gorgeous, and it's already clearly a must-buy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
All right. There is a new UI theme coming, and this is a Lotus skin, so a Lotus UI. And it looks like they're trying to release it on Mother's Day in North America. That's what they're aiming for, which is pretty funny. It looked pretty good, just as you expect. It's sort of a lotus-y purple colour. I'll stick with my Fortuna 80s synthwave theme for the moment, because I like it. It's cool.
Yeah, I've got the same, so I think I'm going to stick with this one too.
Next.
All right. Whew. Now, this one was a big one. UI updates coming to the Arsenal ability screen for your Warframes, with videos of how the abilities work and tips attached to how to play a Warframe. This looks amazing, and it looked like it has a lot of work put into it, so well done. It's going to be something that we have to adjust to for, you know, veteran players. But it looks amazing, and it should definitely help out a lot of newer players.
Yeah, definitely. Selfishly, it annoys the hell out of me because I've designed our Warframe 101 pages around the existing abilities screen, which was absolutely perfect for screenshots. But I'm sure I'll figure a way around it.
We'll work it out. We've got this.
Yeah. It's still a solitary tier for the old ability screen. Anyway, the next one's nice and quick. There's some new hairstyles coming to operators. They showed off a curly-haired hairstyle with a two-tone effect in terms of the colour in the hair. Looked pretty good if that's your thing. I don't care much about operator hairstyles, but that's just me. What did you think, Lucas?
I thought it looked pretty good. I was quite impressed with the fact that they've actually got the, what do you call it? The waviness, you know, the actual, physics, yeah. The actual hair physics. So it moves as you move. It looks good. It bounces. It's good. Well done.
Well, it's no, what was that game that they were going on about with all the hair physics a few years ago? Made by the same guys, made by Ninja Theory, the guys that made Hellblade.
Okay. I can't remember.
It's not that game. It sort of lost its punch because I forgot the name of the game. Bad Greg!
Bad grade. Doesn't matter. Anyways, moving on with the Tennocon Digital Pack. We'll be coming with a new emote that generates the Tennocon 2019 glyph when you use it, and they also showed off the new Tennocon cosmetic armor. And I just have to say, it looks pretty good. I was quite pleased with last year's armor set. And I think I may actually, I don't know, I kind of want to like mix and match them a bit.
Well, this new armor set, I think, looks a bit better. I still use parts of the Tenno armor set, Tennocon 2018 armor set at the moment because it just works with different looks that I've got. But yeah, this new one looks pretty cool. And that glyph is just a great idea. It's not a normal glyph. It's kind of like a floating light show glyph, if you know what I mean.
Looks good.
It's cool. I like it. They then went on to show Hildren. And in particular, what they wanted to show off was her alt helmet, which has dual braids at the back, which looks pretty cool. It looks very sort of barbarian. She is a beast. So I can't remember what they were using at the time. Maybe it was Nyx or something, but they switched from Nyx to Hildren, and it was a massive change just in the look. So they've really gone with a very, very different sort of stocky look for Hildren. And she looks great, I've got to admit. She's definitely got her own style. So if you like Rhino, big, chunky Warframes, Hildren is for you.
All right. Discuss some more movement changes coming to Warframe in 2019. Wall running changes will be occurring. They want to go back to the old where it actually looks like you're running along the wall, not just the bouncing. And arc wing changes for the controls will be happening in the works too. This is something that Steve Sinclair tweeted earlier on last week, and they kind of decided to put him on the spot and make him talk about what he specifically wanted to change.
After that, they then went on to discuss some lighting changes that are coming to the Orb Velis and the Plains of Eidolon. They showed them off. I couldn't tell much of a difference personally. I think Steve can probably see a massive difference because he is a developer and he looks at it all day, every day, and he can see the smaller differences between the look of it. Could you tell, Lucas?
I mean, it did look a little bit more fresh, to be honest. But again, for me, it wasn't really that big of a difference. It does look very, very nice and appealing to the eyes. I can just say that much. But yeah, I couldn't really tell.
You could see a little bit more, a little bit of improvement in the texture or the look of the textures, but I couldn't tell greatly personally. But anyway, on to the next one.
New enemy, maybe, coming to the plains along with a remaster. They showed off a massive thumper, and he looks terrifying as all hell, possibly like a Grineer variant to the Orb Mother. And this will be coming along with the remaster that's roughly said, they said roughly about 3-ish weeks. So, you know, fingers crossed on that. It's simply gorgeous. It is absolutely stunning, the effects that they've put in. There will be more K-Drive grinding stuff. The performance is even better on console. And, other weather effects will also be added, including proper cloudy skies so that it doesn't look like we're just getting sun showers all the time.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, it does look freaking gorgeous. And that thumper looks cool. It just leaps across the screen at you, and yeah, it looks fun. And interestingly, those thumpers are based on a design that's already been in the Plains of Eidolon. I was playing Plains of Eidolon because of the Nightwave stuff. And I saw the thumper just sitting there. It was a smaller version, but it was just sitting there off to the side. And I'm like, hang on.
That sitting looks in familiar. Plain sight.
Yeah. All right. Another thing that they're adding to the remaster of Plains of Eidolon is they're adding Khonzu camps, where players can go in and acquire new bounties while on the plane, so they don't need to go back in and out of the doors to Cetus to get new bounties. That will be a massive improvement. So
that's no early lunch for Khonzu anymore. He's on the job all the time now.
Exactly. Hop two. All right.
Now, next one. They did show off the Wisp in action with her new specialized moving mechanics, like we discussed that they would in previous dev stream. And she looks fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I'm psyched. I can't wait. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, she looked great. She moves like a Wisp.
Very, very smooth.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, based on the way she moves, I'm really, really keen to see what her abilities are now, to be honest.
Yes, yes. Now, Mike, I've got a bit of a curiosity here. Do you think it is just the straight-up movement to Wisp, or do you think it has something to do with her stance?
No, I think that's her movement.
You think that's just her movement? Okay.
Because she's got no feet, for one, and they specifically said that they had to redo the animations for running because she has no feet. So I imagine that I think she was standing like that and doing, you know, the idle animations were because of her stance.
Yeah.
But the movement was just movement.
Movement doesn't tie in. Yeah, fair enough.
Personally. So we'll see, I guess. All right. The next thing they showed off was a little bit, it makes sense, but it's hard to understand what's going to happen in practice. So basically they said that as a result of some of the changes they're doing to Melee 3.0, certain weapons and certain abilities and things are able to be given two-toned effects in terms of energy color. Now, not everything will get that in the future, but they did show off Neja's warding halo. Not the ability, but the halo he's sort of got on his back in his alt skin, his deluxe skin, and they showed it with a two-tone fire, and that looked fantastic. So he had, it had the blue tinge to the base and yellow fire coming off the top, so it looked much more like a realistic sort of gas fire, I suppose, but
it looked amazing. I'm actually kind of excited for something like that. I mean, it is just cosmetic, but you know, it adds a little bit more to the true end game that is Fashion Frame. Limbo Deluxe, ladies and gentlemen, Limbo Deluxe has been shown in all of his supreme gloriousness with his throwable knives, the tarot card skins. They also showed off the new Sindana that comes with him, and he is looking fantastic. I cannot wait to get my hands on this. I know you're quite excited for those tarot card throwing knife skins, Greg.
Yeah, that's all I'm really interested about for that. I'm just confused by that deluxe skin. I like it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I just don't think it fits Limbo. I'm yet to be convinced. But when you buy it and you undoubtedly fashion frame it, it might help me understand. Maybe. All right. Along with one of the updates, but I didn't really pick it up, I think it's along with the Gas City update.
It is.
The next mainline. There's a couple of new mods coming out. They're new dual mods. They're not gold mods. They're silver mods. So they're interesting.
They were referred to as amalgam mods.
Ah, okay. So these will obviously be dropping from the new enemies that they showed off. Now, these are... there's four of them. There's one called Shotgun Medic for the shotgun, Serrated Rush for the rifle, Tactical Diffusion for a pistol, and Swift Shatter. And I'll just go quickly over what they are. So Shotgun Medic gives plus 85% fire rate and plus 45% revive speed. So that's pretty interesting. Serrated Rush for rifles, 155% damage and an extra 15% sprint speed. Tactical Diffusion gives 110% multi-shot, which is pretty bloody good, and an additional 60% dodge speed. Interesting. Swift Shatter gives 85% critical damage for melee and 60% faster charge attacks. So that is pretty cool. They're all actually really useful mods. But, you know, something like Shotgun Medic with 85% fire rate, 45% revive speed, is it worth taking off something off your Heck or your Tigris Prime to put that on? I'm not sure it is. So it's a risk versus reward kind of thing. What do you think of those mods?
So yeah, I think these mods are going to definitely reward a new style of gameplay. Now, they did mention that the primary attributes of these mods will not be stackable with the actual the mods of the same class with that primary stat. So, for instance, something like the let's say the Swift Shatter with its critical damage increase, you won't be able to use it with the I'm having a mental blank. Not Organ Shatter. What's the other one?
True Steel.
Actually, no, it is Organ Shatter.
It is Organ Shatter, yeah.
Yes, yeah, Organ Shatter. So, yeah, you won't be able to use Swift Shatter with Organ Shatter. It's basically a one or the other. Do you want to have a little bit less of a crit damage and exchange that for the increase in your charge attacks, or do you just want the straight-up crit damage? So, yeah, you can't stack the primary attribute with the primary attribute from the same genre of mods.
Which is interesting. It certainly changes the use of mods for that, and like you said, it will encourage different styles of gameplay, so I'm all for that. So, tell us about the Amalgam Enemies.
Oh, well, the Amalgam Enemies. All right, so they are Corpus Enemies showing up in the new reworked Cloud City. Gas City, that's the one. And they appear to be half sentient, half corpus. Now, this is going to be very interesting how this ties in with the lore. They did show off several of them. I think there was like 5 or 6 in total. Each one's got its own special in-game mechanics, you know, like I know one of them could create a shield that does a life vampire kind of effect, so it can actually leech life off anyone around it. They did show some animations for a few of them as well, some in animations that were still in the works, and there was one that really looked interesting. They didn't actually go into any details about it, but it was just a big demonic winged creature thing. It looked interesting.
It did, yeah. It looked like a bug, and it grabbed something. It looked like it grabbed an enemy and pulled it into them. So I'll be interested to see where that goes. It was pretty cool. But yeah, the design that they've got for these guys is completely different to anything we've seen, so I'm interested.
Looking good. And the hitboxes on some of these things are going to be very interesting too.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because some of them had big sections in the middle that were missing. So
yes,
you could fire through them and not be able to hit them. You have to sort of aim in different places, which will really change things up. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. All right, they then went on to talk about melee. So phase one of melee is probably going to release next week. So I guess we'll believe that when we see it, because they've been saying that for the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we will see that soon. But, you know, it sounds like they're getting towards the end of things, so that sounds pretty good. They did mention that it will include Revenant's two-handed katana, which they referred to as the Tatsu. So that must be its new name, which is interesting. And Tatsu. It sounds like... Tatsu. Maybe I misheard things, but it sounded like that's what they called it. I know a little bit of Japanese, but I don't know multiple meanings for tatsu. One of the meanings is to stand up, so I doubt that it's got anything to do with that, but we'll see. Still, sounds cool. And it sounds like Hildren will also be releasing at the same time as that Melee update. So there's some cool stuff coming just next week, and it sounds like only a couple of weeks later there'll be even more cool stuff. They did say specifically that March is going to be a big month for content, so awesome.
Man, that's just what I like to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Next part?
Next part. Now, this one's actually quite interesting and very, very welcome. They seem to be in development of some new Kavat variants, and the first one will have a vampiric bite with some life linking. I'm excited for this. I want to see what they've got in store and how many they actually have planned. So yeah, definitely give us more cats.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. There's plenty of dogs, so let's have some more cats. I like the idea. Mm-hmm. And the vampiric bite, why not? I'll check it out. Lastly, the last thing they went on to mention was that they're working on a fix for waypoint pathfinding. You probably find that as you're running through a mission, heading towards the exit, sometimes the exit doesn't show you the path to the exit, and you get confused, and you have to figure out how to find your way to the exit all on your own. So they're aware of that, and they are working on a fix for the pathfinding, but it can be pretty complicated. So they said possibly coming with the next mainline, fingers crossed. So that was DevStream 124. There was a hell of a lot of things in there. And one thing that wasn't really in there, and I didn't notice that until we just went over everything, was much discussion about Nightwave. So at the start of the episode, we said we won't talk about much about Nightwave because it'll come up in our discussion. But thinking back on it, they did talk about it at the start in terms of, you know, how long it'll take you to get to level 30 and some of the kind of plans they're thinking down the track. But that was about it. So give me your 1 minute personal thoughts of Nightwave to date, Lucas. What do you think?
1 minute. Okay, so I think
whatever, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, one and a half minutes.
I think it's a good system. It's definitely a lot more planned out and has a lot more structure than the old alert system that they've just said goodbye to. Mm-hmm. You will be missed. Not really. I want to see where they're going to take the lore. I like what they've done so far with the radio station kind of set up for it. It feels very much like I don't want to say rebellion, but almost like I can't even brain right now.
They referred to it as pirate radio.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's sort of rebellious.
A little bit rebellious. I was trying to think of more of like a... I really can't think of the word.
Protest? I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to say.
No, I can't think of it. Can't think of
it. Don't worry about it.
The word will come to me like 10 minutes down the track or something. But no, I think it's good. The characters that are set up are well thought out. I actually showed off the wolf image to one of my friends who has thought that the Grineer were probably one of the most lackluster, boring alien creatures ever to be thought of. And when he saw the wolf, he turned around and said, "Wow, they actually did a good design for once." so I got to agree. Like, the wolf looks amazing. I don't agree with the boring alien part, but yeah. No, I'm enjoying it. I think it's good. They did a good job with it. Conspiracy theorist. There we go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got there in the end.
Conspiracy radio. That's the one.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree mostly. Mostly. I think it takes too long to get wolf creds. So there's too much grind that you need to put in it before you finally get to rank 3 and get your Wolf creds. It's not a lot, and most players that play a hell of a lot of Warframe will probably laugh at me saying that there's too much grind, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about newer players who don't play much and who used to be able to do one quick mission to get one quick immediate Nightane, and now they have to grind through a whole bunch of things to get 30,000 credit Nightwave standing before they can even buy something. And they can't even buy an Orican Catalyst with that first 50 that you get. You can only get Nightane and some decorative stuff. You might be able to get an aura or two. So you can get some good stuff, but it's not as immediate. And I think, I'm not sure that's the best way about things. Maybe rank one should have given some Wolf credits. I don't know. I just think it takes a little bit too long to get your first bunch of Wolf creds.
Personally. I can see that. I think, rank one would have been probably the better bet for your first amount of Wolf creds. But, you know, one of the bonuses to this system that they've got so far is that if you stick to the grind and you go through the 60% of the content that you need to go through, as a new player, you're going to receive weapon slots and Warframe slots.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really, really good. It's fucking awesome of them to add that, actually, because the only way to get those apart from that is to pay for them with plat, or for someone else to buy them for you and gift them. So the fact that they've done that is really good, to be honest. It gives new players a reason to grind through it, and it gives older players a reason to get back into Warframe. That was one of the things I was going to say earlier, was I've been playing a lot more Warframe recently simply because I think I just lost goals. I lost any reason to play Warframe. I was like, I don't know what I want to do next. And now I get on and I'm like, okay, Nightwave is telling me I need to do a sortie with my friends, and I need to do the Tridalon, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. So it's making me do things that I otherwise wouldn't have decided to do, and I'm really enjoying doing them. And it's while I'm playing it, while I'm in the process of playing that, I'm like, yeah, actually, I need to former my Tiburon Prime. So I've started formering that, and I need to former my Piranha Prime, and I've been formering that. So I think it's really good for both new and older players alike, but I think the reward is a little bit too slow for that initial main payoff. That's my thoughts. But they are listening, they are changing, it's a new thing, so, you know, episode 2 or series 2 will be different.
Even if they just made it level 2 that you get your specific creds, because I do like the idea that, you know, receiving your a sigil for your first rank is kind of like a basic kind of thing. You beat a boss,
you
get a sigil.
I really think that you should do it. Get creds every level.
Yeah.
15 every level. That's my thought.
Yeah, no, that could definitely work.
10 every level. So you can't get enough to get a bundle of Nightane just by hitting rank 1. But once you hit rank 2, you can get a bundle of Nightane. I think every level you should get something plus some Wolf creds, rather than having to get paid out in a big bundle of Wolf creds when you hit rank 3. It's just too long to wait. But that's my thoughts. Yeah, I like the idea of getting the sigil at rank 1, but I think you should also get a little payout on the side. Anyway, that is Nightwave. So let's move on. Beginner topic this week is one that was suggested on our Discord. I'm an idiot, so I can't remember who it was that suggested it, but I thought it was a great idea. It was Stoic the Greek. So thank you to Stoic the Greek, and the question was, I'm new to the podcast, I'd love to know how you and others have your loadout slots set up. And that was one thing that I hadn't talked about, so today I'm going to talk about loadouts and configs. So every time you do your mastery rank test, well, not every time, every 2 mastery ranks, I think, you get awarded with a new loadout. And it took me quite a while, actually. I was probably Mastery Rank 5, maybe even Mastery Rank 8, before I realized what loadouts were. Loadouts are essentially saved loadouts, saved weapon and warframe states. So you take a warframe, you say, okay, I like playing with Rhino. So say you're a newer player. I like playing with Rhino because I can get through all the missions, but I also have these newer characters, newer warframes that I want to level up. So I want to be able to quickly, with one button, change to my Rhino and my Heck and my, Atarax. I want to quickly, with one button press, change to that particular loadout so I can go and do hard content, and then with another single button press, I can change back to the stuff that I'm leveling and level them up without having to change each individual thing in between. So a loadout allows you to do that. When you go into your arsenal and you go to and you're looking at your loadout down the side of the screen, you'll see up in the top left there's a little button. It's what is it on PlayStation? You right-click R3 or you press R1? I can't remember. One of the two.
Press R1.
You press R1 and it brings up your loadouts. Now, if you're new and you didn't know that existed, you'll probably have a bunch of loadouts that are just called Loadout 1, Loadout 2, Loadout 3, Loadout 4, Loadout 5, and they'll all be empty.
Incorrect. You press the R3 button to bring up a thing that has R3. Your... Yeah, and you press duplicate to create new loadout, and then from there you can...
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. The first time... I'll let
you take back over.
Yeah, when you want to create loadouts, so initially you don't even have loadouts, that's right. You have slots available for loadouts. So when you're awarded them by going through your mastery rank, it shows how long it's been since I last did that. When you're awarded them for doing your mastery rank, you're not awarded a loadout, you're awarded a loadout slot. So what you do is when you're looking at your loadout, you can finalize. So let's go back to that Rhino example. So you put your Rhino in, you put your Heck there, you've got your Atarax, and you've got whatever the hell secondary weapon, I can't be bothered thinking of one, in there as well. And of course your companion, and everything is exactly the way you want it. On the PS4, you click the right stick, so you press the R3 button. It'll be the same on Switch and Xbox. PC players, just look for a button. It'll be there somewhere. I haven't done it on PC. Ooh, I should figure it out. But anyway, when you do it, it'll bring up a list. One of them will be rename, one will be randomize, one will be copy from, delete, duplicate, or buy extra slot. So if you click on rename, of course you're going to rename the loadout option. If you click on randomize, you just stuffed up and you're going to randomize everything that's in that loadout. What you really want to do to create that loadout for that is you want to duplicate. So you click duplicate and it's going to copy it. So now you'll have a second loadout slot that will have exactly the same as what you've got in the first loadout slot. Then you either want to rename the one that you're in or go into the other one and rename that one again by clicking that stick and rename it. So you might call that one Rhino, or you might call it Tank, or, High Level, or whatever you want to call it. You can call it whatever you want, and you can rename it any old time you like without having to pay anything. It's free to rename. So those are your loadouts. You can have a whole bunch. I've got a shitload. You can buy an additional loadout for 20 platinum. I don't recommend doing it because you do get one for free every couple of mastery ranks, and you pretty much get enough. As a newer player, I relied on loadouts a lot more than I do now. Now, I don't know, I think I'm going to go back and revisit my loadouts because I created a lot of my loadouts when I was new. So I've got loadouts such as, one of mine is called Tank and it is my Rhino. One of mine is called Support and that is my Frost loadout. So I've got Frost and whatever the hell weapons I put with Frost. I've got Healer, and that's my Trinity. So I've got a few of these different playstyle types. As I started to collect more frames, I started to make loadout slots for my favorite frames. So I think I made one called Berserker for Valkyr. So that is Valkyr with a Sybaris Prime and Venka Prime and I can't remember, I think it could be Sicarus Prime for the secondary, and that was one that I used a hell of a lot for a long while. I've got, I think I called it Fairy or something like that, which is my Titania. So I've got a whole bunch of different ones like that. Eventually, as I started to actually get into the end game, I created one for sorties. I created one for Eidolon, for doing Eidolon. And I still use, the one that I really use the most at the moment is the Eidolon one. So whenever I want to do Eidolons, I click on that. It's Rhino again with my Lanker. And that's about all I need. It doesn't really matter. So I just take my Rhino and my Lanker and away I go. So these are loadouts. I also have probably the other most important one that I recommend you have is one that you simply call level or leveling slot or whatever you want. And that's the one that you're using currently to level up all your weapons or your warframe. And that one you can just change shit on the fly. It doesn't matter what's in there, but the other ones you want to keep as specific loadouts. The only thing is, it's very easy to forget that you're in a loadout and change your weapons and away you go. It's not actually changing the loadout unless you save it. So that's something to keep in mind. If you want to go back to an old loadout and go, shit, why was I using the plain standard Boar? I've got Boar Prime now. I'm going to swap that out. Don't forget to save over your loadout. So I guess that's my overview of loadouts, and when I get to the end section, I'll ask Lucas to give me his opinion as to what he does with loadouts, because everyone's different. Me personally, I don't use loadouts too much. I really, like I said, just use it for Eidolon when I need a specific loadout. I quickly just change to it. Otherwise, these days, most of what I got is fairly endgame viable because I've formed all my favorite weapons. So I usually just go, okay, what am I going to do? I'll change this to this and this to this and this to this, and then away I go. I don't need to choose a loadout for stuff because it's more on the fly for me at this point. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about was configs. So in the same way that you can create loadouts, which is Warframe, primary, secondary, melee, and companions in a single loadout. It saves everything. Configs are essentially mod configs. That will save the mod loadout for a specific weapon. So if you look on the mod screen when you're modding your Heck, for example, you'll see up the top, there's config A, config B, config C. You can rename those. Different ways to do it, depending on your system. It's pretty intuitive. You'll figure it out. But once you start to make configs, at first you'll be making them based on whatever the hell mods you've got. Because let's face it, it takes a long time to get the good mods that make some really hardcore loadouts. Eventually though, you might want to have a Heck that does corrosive damage and a second config with a Heck that does radiation damage. So you can use one against Grineer and another one against the Corpus, depending on who you're going up against. You know, it could be a sortie that has against 80 to 100 against Corpus. So you might want to take that radiation or magnetic weapon in. Depends on what you really want to do, but you will eventually create configs for different kinds. Now, I did see Mothop in our Discord saying that configs should never change, they should evolve. And that's true to a point, but eventually you'll get different mods, I think, that are going to... Eventually you'll get to a point where you realize, okay, this config that I've got worked for me for a while, but it's not going to work for me anymore, especially now that I'm doing sorties all the time or I'm doing Eidolon all the time or whatever, so I need to change my config. So you might have a base config and then you'll have some other specialized configs, particularly for warframes. So for example, Trinity... Very popular build for Trinity is called the EV Trin, and that's Energy Vampire Trinity. There's also another very popular build for Trinity, which is the Blessing, or Bless Trinity. And one focuses on very short duration, high range, high strength Energy Vampire. The other one focuses on longer duration, high strength Blessing. So you might have a different role that you want to play, so you'll assign a different config to those, and you'll name them. One will be EV, one will be Bless, and then you'll know which is which. That's what I've got for my Trinity. So these are configs. Lastly, there's appearance tabs. So when you're fashion framing, you can have up to 3 tabs for fashion frame, and that's across your weapons, your warframe, your operator, should you have the operator already, your companions, pretty much across anything that you can change the appearance of, except for your ship interior and things like that. One thing that was added a couple of months ago is the ability to shift tabs. So if, like me, when you started, you had plain old vanilla Valkyr Prime and you didn't have her sexy delusion skin or, you know, any of her other skins, you created something in that A slot and then your favorite slot was B, and every time you chose Valkyr, you had to go in and choose slot B. Well, now you can swap B and swap A and swap A, slot A, so that you can have your favorite one loading in automatically every time you select them. So that's loadouts, configs, and appearance tabs. Hopefully I haven't missed anything. If I have, Lucas, please jump in. Otherwise, how do you do your loadouts?
Usually for my loadouts, I try to go for a bit of a theme with my frames. So, for instance, you know, I got Mesa Prime at the moment, and I've just set her to Gunslinger in my loadouts. And, you know, she's just equipped with Sybaris Prime and my new kit gun, and that's about it, because I like to keep her without a melee weapon for that extra health boost. Then I got, like, Silver Commander for my Nyx, because I've fashion-framed her to look like a Athens warrior. I just kind of theme mine around what I make the frame look like.
Yeah. So I think that's a good point. Eventually, the loadouts become less important to you. And it's not less important, but as a newer player, I had lots of different things that I wanted. But as a longer-term player, it's really just about the look.
Yeah. I'm only ever use my loadouts. I mean, I do have one loadout which is just labeled random, and that's when I'm feeling bored and want to spice things up a little bit, or if I want to use that one for leveling, which will usually be a stealth Loki for the leveling melee weapons on exterminates.
Yeah. That's a good point. I haven't actually created one that's specifically for leveling weapons. Interesting. All right. So that's those loadouts. Of course, there's also the gear loadout. That's something that's very different, and that's really self-explanatory. If you do want me to cover gear loadouts, you can, but let me know. I think it's self-explanatory, and I don't need to go over it, but let me know if you think otherwise. Anyway, over to Lucas for his advanced topic, and he hasn't even let me know what the advanced topic is today, so I'm excited.
Oh. All right, so for our long-term listeners, you will remember back to episodes 12, 13, and 14, where I did the Tenno Hunters Part 1, 2, and 3. I'm bringing back that series just simply because of what they've recently added. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you tonight Tenno Hunters Part 4, The Wolf of Saturn 6.
Ooh.
As an escaped convict, the wolf himself may be Grineer, but he has no affiliation to his own kind. So he is not affiliated with the Grineer, Corpus, or anyone. He is unaffiliated, making an appearance temporarily as the key figure in the first ever Nightwave episodic system, The Wolf of Saturn 6. Now, as we are still in the early days of the Nightwave, very little is known of the wolf, just that the Grineer locked him away in a very secretive prison on Saturn. Now, to encounter the wolf, there is currently no means of forcing this, or even bettering one's chances. However, we have been informed that as the Nightwave continues, his chances to appear will increase. The wolf spawns wielding a very unique weapon called the Wolf Sledge, which is a massive hammer, and with this mighty hammer, he will attempt to crush the Tenno he comes across. If you make a great distance between yourself and the wolf, then you will find he can send forth high damage dealing melee projectiles, very similar to Excalibur's Exalted Blade. And if you get too close, he will spin his mighty hammer around in an attempt to suck you into the hammer's path with a vortex-like attack. Now, we all like loot and drops, and the wolf brings a few pleasant prezzies. So, starting off with the real basic stuff that we all kind of know and expect, we have the 11th Storm Sword and Shield Stance with a 15.28% drop chance. Fever Strike, Molten Impact, North Wind, and Shocking Touch, the 90% Elemental melee mods, all dropping with, again, a 15.28% chance. We then have Spinning Needle, which is a dual dagger stance, again, 15.28% chance. We've seen a bit of a pattern here. And then the next one I actually found a little bit interesting. I don't think I've ever come across it before, and it is Target Acquired, which is a plus 60% to headshot multipliers with a sniper rifle. So I personally have not come across this mod. If you have, please let us know in Discord or whatever form of contact you decide. And this particular mod has a 4.17% chance to drop. There's one more mod, and we've seen it before. It comes with, it drops from the Stalker, and it is Tempo Royale, which is the heavy blade stance, and it also has a 4.17% drop rate. So they are the mods. There is, you know, that one interesting new one that they kind of thrown in there. But apart from that, not really anything worthy in the mods. But there is more to his drops. And there's always more to the drops. You actually have a chance of acquiring the Wolf Sledge and the Blueprint. Now, I'm not sure how accurate these drop chances are, because it is still early days, but the Wolf Sledge Blueprint has a 3.95% chance of dropping, so it's pretty low. Not impossible, but it's pretty low. Now, you have the Sledge Handle and the Sledge Head at 13.55%. Then the Sledge Motor, which is these the all components to build the Wolf Sledge. The Wolf Motor is a 3.95% chance of dropping. And as a little bit of a sprinkle on top of that glorious cake that is drops and loot, Nitane Extract at 0.13% chance of dropping.
0.13.
It's great. Yeah. We have another chance at getting Nitane. We have a chance at getting a new weapon. Sure. There's some mods that are very handy for new players if he does, in fact, increase his chance of popping up. This is going to be something that new players are going to want to grab from him. Now, I have seen he is very buff and very tank. He is, you know, incredibly armored. My sources and research have said that he is immune to status and Warframe abilities, much like Stalker is. So, if this is correct for those people that are planning to take in stuff that can melt armor, I got some bad news for you. If my sources are correct, status won't work. You can't melt his armor.
Interesting.
But yes, Tenno Hunters Part 4. There you go.
Nice one.
Hopefully we may see some more of this kind of stuff in the future, depending on whether or not they do anything more for a future Nightwave. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it and learning more about the wolf.
And as much as we have played the shit out of Nightwave recently, neither of us have run into the bloody bastard.
No.
Plenty of convicts, zero wolves.
Plenty of convicts. Anyway, yes.
Shit happens. All right, very good. Thank you, Lucas. No more on the wolf?
No more on the wolf.
All right, so let's move on to the community call out. Firstly, I just want to say that I have added some new stuff to the Discord. It was extremely annoying at first because I didn't know how to use it, so I added a Mi6 bot. And that is basically the lovely boy who awards people for being
active
in the Discord. And it's really good, so it's got people actually friendly competitively, trying to stay in the top ranks. It is still a little bit annoying because everyone is constantly looking at their ranks all the time, which does sort of ping people, depending on your notifications settings for Discord. So if you are getting lots of pings, change your notification settings, but apologies for that. I'm not sure how to change it at the moment. I'll have a look at what can be done to see whether or not you can get those rankings just in a direct message. You can, though, of course, just have a direct message with Mi6 the bot yourself directly, and that will just give you the rank if you wanted to, just so that you don't spam the channels. It's not too bad, I don't think, because most of the time people are talking anyway when people are checking their ranks, so it's not a big deal. I think that's all I added to the Discord. We added a whole bunch of emotes as well, so thanks to Rathok for helping us with some emotes. And now that I know how easy it is to add emotes to, or emoji, to the Discord, I'll be adding a whole bunch more. So if you have any artistic skills and you want to help us add some more cool Warframe-related emoji to the Discord, hit me up. I'd be happy to add them, as long as they, you know, make sense in terms of, you know, they are meant to represent emotions or responses. So I am happy to do so. Quick little thanks as well to Mothhop and Diablo on PS4 for helping us smash through the Tridalon for the Nightwave reward. That was very helpful. And lastly, we have a cookie for Oxidized in the Discord, who mentioned that we missed the Frost acquisition note, so how to get Frost. Now, this is something that we generally do cover in the minis, but we did actually miss that for Frost. So apologies, and you can get Frost from Ceres, the boss on Ceres. Anyway, do you want to read the Cephalon question time?
Cephalon question time! All right, this week's question is from F12 on our Discord, and the question is, are there any builds that you got bored of using because they make a mission either trivial or not fun anymore? In other words, so effective it's not a challenge.
Did you want to answer first or me?
You go for it. I read it. You answer.
My answer is not really. There are builds that I got bored of using, but not because they made things trivial or not fun, because, you know, even overpowered things are fun. But more because I just overuse them. So, for example, like I said earlier, I used to use Valkyr a lot. And really, she does make certain things trivial. If you know how she works, when you turn on your Hysteria, you're invincible, and you have lifesteal for all of your melee attacks. So you could be on almost zero life, quickly slam on your Hysteria, get a couple of slashes in, you're back to full health again. Plus, she's one of the tankiest frames in the game in terms of armor, so she does make things fairly trivial. But I used her a lot because she's just fun. Now I don't use her so much because I probably overused her, and I think that's probably the case with a lot of things. I overused Frost, and now I don't enjoy using him as much anymore. I think it's just more a case of me using things too many times that it took the fun out of it. What about yourself, Lucas?
I'm going to say yes and no. I'm going to be that difficult person, as I always am.
That's unlike you.
Shut up. So, a good example for one that I found was very overpowered for my particular playstyle back in the day was Titania. So this is going back before they decided to make exalted weapons separate from as a separate entity, and back then it was that your whatever weapon you had equipped to kind of fit with the exalted weapon would carry over stats from the mods. So, for example, for Titania, and her Dex Pixia machine pistols, they used to tie into her primary weapon. And at that time, I was running the Tigris Prime on her, so you can imagine all of the Tigris Prime mods going into an exalted weapon and adding that just real destructive flavor. I could melt Vahek.
Lefantis.
Lefantis. I could solo. I could literally solo Lefantis in the sortie level Lefantis. I could solo him with my Titania Tigris build because it was just that ridiculously overpowered. And it would only take me
seconds.
It'd be over in a blink. It was ridiculous. And there is a video on Facebook that I put up of when I decided to use Titania for the Ambulus event and attacked the dropship way too quickly and actually caused the dropship to despawn before the Ambulus dropped. So I kind of broke the game a little bit with my Titania build. So I don't use her as much anymore because I made her so broken. And yeah, she did get a little bit boring. So I do definitely have builds like that where they do just simply make the game too trivial, and I just think I'm not having as much fun anymore. Although I've got to say, breaking the game and having a ship despawn on you before the boss drops was pretty funny.
Fair enough. Nice. Yeah. Well, I didn't do that.
I don't think many people did.
Yeah, bloody Titania. They probably didn't play around with her enough. I think she was a misunderstood and underrepresented frame.
Indeed,
and still definitely. Is probably, but she's a pain in the ass.
Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. But definitely was back then.
Yeah. All right. Thank you to F12 for that question. It was a good one, and that brings us to the end of episode 33. Now I'm not sure how this episode has gone. Lucas and I have had continuing connection issues the entire time, even though both of us have pretty solid internet connections. For some reason, the world just transpired against us tonight, and there were a number of dropouts. So I'll do my best to edit and have things sounding smooth as silk, like nothing even happened. But if there are a couple of points that just sound a bit not right, that will be why. So apologies for that.
Now, before we close out, I believe mm-hmm. there's something else we wanted to mention. Yeah.
Fumble. Yeah. We have a giveaway.
We do.
Damn. I don't know whether I should add something to the beginning as well, because this is a long way into the episode. So I might just throw something in to say, listen until an hour into the episode or whatever. But we have a giveaway because we have been working with DE for a little while. We're not partnered, so you know we aren't partnered with DE, but they do recognize that we've been working hard and they'd like to give us a little bit of support, so they're going to give us a bundle that we can offer as a giveaway. So this bundle will include 500 plat, a 7-day affinity booster, a 7-day credit booster, and a redeemer. I'm pretty sure, 99% sure, it is not Redeemer Prime, so it's just a standard, stock standard Redeemer, but it's still a pretty good thing because the Redeemer is a pain in the ass to build. You need to use a couple of different weapons as the prerequisites for it, so it's actually a pretty good weapon to be given for free, plus it'll come with a catalyst pre-installed and a slot, so can't say no to that.
Yes, and I think it's quite fitting, you know, how I'm always complaining that there's not enough gunblades in the game, and our bundle has a bloody gunblade.
Exactly. So we can gift this to anyone on any platform. So this is the bundle we will be going away for March, and it will be held on Facebook. So we will hold a little post on Facebook, and the only thing you need to do is reply to that post. It's most likely going to be something simple like, I don't know, name your best memory of Warframe to date. Something like that. And we will choose. So We'll just choose the best answer out of that. We'll get in contact and we'll get your platform and your name on that platform and we'll send you the prize. It's going to last for a few weeks, so we'll start it off on the Facebook page. We'll do it on the Facebook group. We'll try and get people over from the Discord to get into Facebook so that they have a chance to enter as well. But yeah, all you need to do is comment. It's as simple as that. So this is our first giveaway. We're looking forward to it, and we will have many more giveaways in the future. We're hoping to do this on a monthly basis. So stick with Cephalon Squared, and you can get some freebies now. Yay! Woo! It only took us 6 months, but we are here.
We are here. We're finally doing it. Yeah. It's happening.
Exactly. We have had a couple of different giveaways during our time. They were a little bit awkward. This one is going to be much easier. So thank you, everyone, for sticking with us for now. Join our giveaway. You've got to be in it to win it. But thank you. All right. Anything else to say, Lucas, or are we ready to move on?
Nope. I think we're ready to move on.
Cool. Okay, the episode notes will be going up within the next hour or so, so they'll be up by the time you listen to this. If you do want to get in contact with us, or you want to learn how to join us, or you're not part of the Facebook group as yet and you want to join it, it's pretty easy. The Facebook group's called Cephalon Squared, but still, go to the website, cephalonsquared.com, and you'll find all of our links to join us, the Discord, the Facebook group, the Facebook page, etc. We've just hit 400 people on the Facebook page, so that is absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait until we hit 500. Maybe we'll have a 500 Facebook page celebration. Maybe we'll have a giveaway then as well. But anyway, you can reach out to us there. Give us a rating on your podcast platform. Help spread the word to help us grow. Now, one thing I didn't do was look at how many iTunes reviews we have this week. And the main reason I did that is because it was such a bitch of a weekend, and I'm going away during this week, and it just slipped my mind. So I apologize for that, but I'll put an update on our Facebook page as well, or in our Facebook group, one of the two. So sorry about that, but keep a look out there for the news. My name is Cephalon Greg. I'm Mad Capsules all over the internet. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas, and I am Silverlight all over the internet, S-I-L-V-R-L-G-H-T. My usual spiel, thank you so much to the community. We really, really do appreciate all the support you guys give us. It's fun having a little bit of a conversation with you all in Discord or Facebook or whatnot, and really, it really means a lot to us, so thank you so much. Thank you for sticking with us for 33 episodes now, 33 weeks of episodes. Oh, we're coming up. It's happening. Everything's going good. That's great. Loving it. Loving the community. Loving you guys. So thank you.
Yeah. Onwards and upwards. Okay. Thanks to Jan at Disco_Box on Twitter for the intro and outro. I still have to get him to make those new ones. I just remembered now. Shit. Dun, dun, dun. So much to do. But that's good. It keeps me busy. And thanks to you for listening to episode 33. We'll see you in a couple of days for our mini on Gaara.
Gara!
Anyway, woo! Thank you very much, and we'll see you in a couple of days. Bye!
Bye!
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week!